There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, the one and the only Mr. Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hey there.
We've got a lot of wacky, weird, supernatural news from around the world to share today. Plus, we've got some emails. This has been a crazy ass couple of weeks for me. I'm out filming a new TV series. So again, I'll remind people of that. I'm in a hotel recording the show. Walls are paper thin, so sometimes people walk past the room. You might hear them talking, vacuuming, cleaning. I'm doing my best to ride the mute button so that you don't have to hear all the background noise. But I promise you, it's not evil entities and demons in the background, so you don't have to keep emailing me about it. I keep putting that warning out, and I keep getting emails. I know you said it's that, but I could have sworn I heard, "I'm coming for your soul." You know, that's just the way they treat you here in the town I'm in. If you don't pay your bills, they'll right, come yeah, for your
yeah.
soul.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That also could be, Dave, the gurgling of my stomach is what people are hearing. I want to eat your soul. It's probably yeah. more like I want to eat something other than Jell-O soup and crackers.
Yeah, there's yeah. that too. So yeah. it's very strange. Speaking of very strange, Tim, tomorrow, I'm going to be up front with people. Tomorrow, we have a different show. Mm-hmm. And because it's got the word God in it and the Bible, I think it turns a lot of people off immediately. We've already pre-recorded the show. It's a lot of fun. We share a lot of laughs and interesting viewpoints. Strange stories about aliens, angels, and God from the Bible. Our guest tomorrow is Jason Mallott. We're going to dig into the Bible, and he's got some interesting aspects to re-examine. On the Bible and what some of these stories meant, why we believe the things we believe, and is it bad to challenge those questions? We do that, but we have a lot of fun laughing and talking through it and talking about the supernatural aspects and elements of the Bible. So even though it might not normally be your cup of tea, I think if you tune in tomorrow, you're going to enjoy it and get some laughs out of the show. I'm very open and honest at the beginning of the show about something stupid I did over the weekend. You might just get a kick out of that aspect and the fact that our guest calls back to it repeatedly through the episode, almost openly mocking me for my trials and tribulations. But the guest has a lot of energy, a lot of fun. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And I think there's some really interesting elements to that story that I didn't expect. I don't know about you, Tim.
Yeah. But, to be honest with you, I think it's one of the more entertaining shows we've done this year in that as long as you can keep yourself open and listen to the theories that are being bandied about, I think you'll have a great time with the show. It's light. It's funny. It's also very informative.
Yeah. So tune in, check it out. And that's tomorrow on the program. I'm working on doing a live show Thursday night. And I would like, I'm not sure what the topic may be or who my guests might be. I just happen to have most of this week off from filming. And then I head out to New Jersey Paracon on Friday morning. So the New Jersey Para Unity Expo, I'll be there this Friday, Saturday. And then I return back to my filming location on Sunday. But I'll be out in New Jersey. If you guys would like to come see me, meet me, and all of the other cool paranormal TV celebrities and podcasters that you love, the New Jersey Para Unity Expo is taking place, believe it or not, Tim, in New Jersey.
What?
Yeah, it's not just hype in the title. It's a real thing. So I'm hoping Bruce Springsteen might stop by. I hear he's a huge fan. Why are you laughing, Tim? Come on.
I you know, Dave, I've called Vegas on the odds on this deal. It seems you may have better odds hitting this week's Powerball jackpot than seeing Bruce at the Parunity Expo. I'm just saying. Sure.
I did send him an email saying, anonymously saying, hey, the guy using the title of one of your albums is going to be in town. This would be a great time to go there and serve him in person. So Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm not opposed to using that to get him to show up and hang out and talk with me.
So as he shows up with the New Jersey State Police to bring you into custody for copyright infringement, you'll be smiling all the way with, I met Bruce.
Exactly. Actually, we can't get in trouble. I checked in on that before we even fully named the show. You can't own a title like that. So there's been TV shows, books, and more entitled Darkness on the Edge of Town. We just happen to be the second best thing named Darkness on the Edge of Town after his album. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, there's different purposing for it. So, yeah.
We've got a lot of weird stories to dig into. Plus, we've got some emails and more. So let's just, I'm going to shut down a few of these windows so that I can focus my intention during this, Tim.
Okay.
Let me see where we're going to start with this. This is one of those stories that's been sent to me repeatedly this week, and I have a different thought about this. And I'm going to talk about it. This is one of those stories that have been sent to me probably about 100 times this week. Mm-hmm. The headline, man shocked to discover hair poking out of a 100-year-old grave. It was a hair-raising adventure, this clever author writes. A California man was given the fright of his life after allegedly stumbling upon a century-old grave with human hair sticking out of it. It's a TikTok video shows this macabre discovery currently boasts about 1.5 million views and 290,000 likes, according to Jam Press. When I first saw it, I was shocked. I wasn't exactly sure that what I was seeing was real. That's what Joel Morrison told Jam Press. It's really fucking gross, which he happened upon while visiting the St. Joseph's cat. Really? That's the word? Joseph is the one that's going to trip me up? The St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery in Sacramento. But upon closer inspection, I realized that it was definitely human hair coming out of the grave, the stunned 37-year-old handyman added. The POV TikTok video shows the allegedly 100-year-old tombstone with a tuft of thick hair locks protruding out of a crack in the stone. It almost looks like a Halloween prop. There is the person's hair coming out of the crack, exclaims an aghast Morrison before unleashing a stream of expletives. After an initial wave of disgust, the janitor said he started to feel bad for the deceased family members and worried about the upkeep of the cemetery, feeling kind of like maybe they were being disrespected or desecrated in some way. Indeed, he reported seeing other gravesites getting destroyed by squirrels and other animals, with overgrown trees also damaging the tombs, reported Jam Press. His ghoulish clip sent spines tingling all across TikTok. This is crazy freaky, said one creeped out commentator, according to Jam Press, while another called the mangy grave the scariest thing I've ever seen. One morbid user joked that Morrison should pull on the hair and see if it screams. However, other viewers had a more rational explanation for the Night of the Living Dead evoking phenomenon, with one suggesting that a natural disaster had caused the corpse to literally roll over in their grave. Y'all, this definitely can occur, especially after heavy floods and rains, said one of the groundbreaking discovery. This can, unfortunately, bring up the bodies. Seems like they're buried near a tree, another wrote. A funeral director once suggested to not be buried near trees, as things like this tend to happen, because the roots will grow underneath the coffins and then push up, raising people up through the dirt.
Yep.
So I'm not to the point yet. I'm going to tell you my thoughts, but bear with me. Someone else surmised that an animal probably found the hole and tried to bring it out to make a bed, out of its hair. According to Jam Press, Morrison has settled on his own theory that partly mirrors that What looks like happened to me was that there was a very large tree close to the tomb grave, and the roots from that tree had grown up into the grave, disrupting the concrete barrier and brick mortar, possibly pushing up the remains, he said. Then, once the grave was opened, squirrels, rodents, and whatever other animals were free to go in and out. It looks like they may have been trying to nest in the human hair. Unfortunately, the cemetery explorer didn't get a chance to probe deeper into the mystery. He explained that when he returned the next day, he discovered that the hair seemingly had been pushed back into the hole, which he suggested could be the handiwork of the groundskeeper. Hair today, gone tomorrow?
No.
Morrison planned to provide a lock of the hair to the coroner's office to determine whether or not it was actually from a human. Now, here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's really weird is if you see this picture, and boy, I bet people wish they could, all you need to do is go to darknessradio.com, click on the news tab. All of our news stories will be there, so you can click on this one and see it. Where it seems to be coming out from underneath the headstone itself. And I don't know people that are buried under headstones.
Right.
I mean, they're buried in front of the headstones or behind the headstones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things. Either this is somebody screwing with people and tucked a wig underneath there. Because if this grave is 100 years old, this hair looks insanely healthy. And hair breaks down. So if it's been in a grave that's been slowly rotting and being pushed up, I can't see how the hair survived. It's baffling to me.
Unless,
maybe that's because I'm bald.
Unless it's not the hair of the person that's in the grave.
That was my other thought is, I don't know that somebody didn't just bury another person there 2 feet down.
Yeah.
You know? So that's something that maybe should be examined.
It was very common, and I'll give you just a couple of quick scenarios here as to what I think, too. And I'll use my own family as an example. My grandmother wanted my great aunt to be buried with her, due to circumstances in the family and abusive relationships, stuff like that. So she wanted her baby sister with her. So when the time came, when my aunt Pat passed away, they took her and turned ashes and buried, you know, basically redug into my grandmother's grave and put Aunt Pat in there on top of, you know, the casket. So there is such a thing as a double internment. It does happen. Second thing, weirdly enough, in the place that I'm renting here, in the backyard, last year, and it's happened again this year, there are things that are mysteriously coming up out of the dirt, Dave. Okay? And one of them being an entire barbecue grill. I kid you not, piece by piece. Someone tried to bury an entire barbecue grill. Now, it's not erosion. It's not, you know, the water is hitting this specific spot and washing away the dirt. What's happened is there is, in one area, a tree that's been cut down. So, you know, but the stump is still remaining. So the roots are still kind of settling or growing. And another, there's a brand new tree that's growing. So like you were pointing out before, the roots are pushing up things. So there's one root system pushing against another. And what the people who were in this place before thought they were doing I don't know why you're not taking a full-size barbecue grill to the dump rather than trying to dump it in your own yard. But they tried to bury this thing in the yard. And it just, one day I'm out looking around in the backyard and trimming things and I notice a grate, like half of a grate sticking up out of the dirt, like right on the side of the house. I thought, okay, that's kind of weird. I pull on it, and it's hard to get out of there because the other part is down a little ways. So I go and I get a shovel, and I dig around it. Here I pull out an entire grate from a barbecue grill. The cover comes up, in the next year. Because these root systems are changing and growing and they are pushing whatever was buried down there back up. So you just see this thing magically start to come out of the dirt and you would think that, you know, the gods of barbecue were angry, which is not the case at all.
Very strange. Yeah. There's, but now I want to come over and start using a metal detector in your backyard and see if we can uncover other riches and famous things, because I need a good grill.
Well, you know, so. the other thing too is the people who were here before, and this is the weirdest thing to me. Mm-hmm. They went out and they got full size like boulders and rocks, like you would get to shore up a rock wall or a or even a retaining wall if you were having flood issues, which we really don't have anything around here to have to hold back. But for some reason, they buried them in the yard. So the backyard slopes up towards the fence. And if you go just a little ways down in there, if you don't go by the little mounds that have a bunch of holes in them, which, by the way, there's not snakes in them, Dave. They end up being here in this county. We have issues with moles and stuff like that. But if you go to one of these areas and you dig down just not even a foot, you hit rock. And there's these giant boulders. It was like they had these boulders and went, you know what? Nah, we're not going to sell them, or we're not going to give them away because they're, you know.
Oh, my God, dude. You're sounding creepier and creepier. Like, they've buried stuff in that yard.
They have. That's what's
weird
about
it. Hiding parts and bits and pieces of things.
Yeah, they just, I guess when they went to move, it was like, okay, we're not going to throw the crap in a U-Haul. We're going to bury it in the backyard. So you really got to be careful with the riding mower back there.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
See, people? That's why, you know, when you go to places like New Orleans, everybody's buried above ground because they have so much flooding problems.
Mm-hmm.
Coffins were just being pushed out into the streets and everything. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very strange. Hey, Dave and Tim, in parentheses.
Oh, hi.
I just discovered your podcast and have been loving listening since I work early morning shifts and otherwise have to listen to bad retail music. I've been missing paranormal radio because as much as I love George Norley, I sorely see. That's why I said Norley. I was running those two together.
Right. Yeah.
Because as much as I love George Norrie, I just sorely miss Art Bell. Recently, I listened to one of your podcasts and it reminded me of an experience I had about a year ago. I'm sorry, but this may run a little long. So cute. It's like three little paragraphs. I love those long ones. My grandmother passed away 9 years ago last week, and she was my first best friend. I was extremely close with her, and I was devastated when I got the call. Even though when we visited her for that summer, I knew that would be our last visit. Some of my best memories were with her sitting in her yard watching the hummingbirds fight over the feeders. We laughed at all of their hijinks and even gave them all names. Just sitting here thinking about sharing those moments with her and those cute little green and pink birds fill me with so much emotion. My son, her oldest great-grandson, graduated in May of 2020. I was sitting on my balcony and randomly thought about how proud she would be of him and wishing she were here to see him walk across that stage. Suddenly, a green and pink hummingbird rushed at me, hovering in front of my face for a good 15 to 20 seconds. In the 3 years we've lived here, I've never seen one before, nor have I seen one since. As I sat mesmerized by this tiny creature, I had an overwhelming sense of peace and love wash over me, like a loved one coming behind you to give you a gentle hug. At this point, I have tears streaming down my face. All I can think to do is say, I love you too. With that, the hummingbird bobbed up and down once like it was acknowledging me, and then it flew off to wherever it came from. I've always believed in the paranormal and life after death, but this just cemented it for me. I absolutely knew that in that moment, she was there watching over us, still loving and protecting us from the other side. It was such a profound experience that I never in my life had, and listening to your show brought it back. I just thought I would share this with you and maybe bring some comfort to other listeners out there, knowing that for all the grief that they have, your loved ones are there and always watching, waiting for the day that you will join them so they can delight in the hummingbird hilarity together on the other side. Love and prayers to everyone struggling in these days, and that comes from Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany. It was a nice little uplifting story.
Absolutely.
All right, we've got some entertainment news, Tim. entertainment news. Are you ready for this?
Entertainment news. Yes, I am. Yep.
Real life horror stories told by the victims in a new series, Eli Roth Presents A Ghost Ruined My Life. It begins screaming on Discovery Plus Friday, October 8th. You may want to keep those lights on for Eli Roth Presents A Ghost Ruined My Life, a new series from the master of horror that features real-life ghost stories as told by the victims who came face-to-face with their demons and survived. Award-winning filmmaker Eli Roth has spent his whole life telling horror stories, but these may be the most terrifying yet. Launching with two episodes on Friday, October 8th, exclusively on Discovery Plus during the streamer's Ghosttober event, the 8 one-hour episodes highlight the haunting, untold stories of victims of the paranormal as they try to unpack the unexplainable causes of their emotional and sometimes physical trauma. Taking an entirely new approach to storytelling, the series goes beyond the initial terrifying contact with the unknown. Every unique show aims to reveal the ravaged relationships, lost livelihoods, and obliterated sense of self that has plagued the main subjects since their first confrontation with a ghost, demon, dark entity, or poltergeist. So it's equal parts horrific and evocative. A Ghost Ruined My Life exposes audience to the real-life stories of people dragged through hell and back as they struggle to rebuild their shattered lives. I was shocked to see how many people experience this phenomena, and they were grateful to share their stories for the first time on camera, said Eli Roth. It's no joke. These people's lives were ruined by the ghost, which seems to be the spirit's goal. They couldn't work. They couldn't sleep. They didn't have the resources to move. And if they did, sometimes the spirit would follow them. It's a fascinating subject, and I've never before it's a fascinating subject that I've never before seen explored in a series. Who better to help than tell these real life haunted horror stories than Eli Roth, added Matthew Butler, general manager, Travel Channel and paranormal streaming content. Eli is a master at his craft, and working with him has been incredible. He has an unmatched ability to evoke the many layers of fear. Viewers will forget they're watching a television show and instead feel as if they are alongside the subject, experiencing every moment. If you enjoy the thrill of being frightened, this is exactly what you want. Having Eli bring his talents to Discovery Plus this Ghosttober is an absolute honor. Eli Roth, of course, made his directorial debut back in 2002 with the film Cabin Fever. His follow-up titles, which included Hostel, Hostel Part 2, Knock Knock, and Death, have earned him critical praise and a reputation as a true innovator in a horror space. So you can check out A Ghost Ruined My Life, and that'll begin on Discovery Plus on October 8th with the first two episodes dropping on that date. And then every, I guess, Friday after that, you can catch up with a new episode.
Hmm.
You know, since we're talking about paranormal and creepy TV programming real quickly.
Yeah.
I visited the brand new episode of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what, folks, if you've never watched The Walking Dead, you know the premise. The dead have come back to life and humans are shit and we treat each other horribly in life and in death. But this new episode, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, Tim.
Yes, I have. I have watched.
Holy shit. I was on the edge of my seat. My palms were sweating. This was a horror movie, a legitimate horror movie, and it had very little to do with the dead. You got to watch it. If you've never watched an episode of The Walking Dead, this, I think, is one of the best 60-minute horror movies I've ever seen. My anxiety was through the roof with this. All I'll give you is that two survivors, one that is deaf and one that is not, find some safe passage in a house that may or may not be haunted or empty. And you have to watch it to watch this unfold. And they do a really interesting aspect that when you're looking at it from her perspective, the woman who is deaf, there's no sound. So you realize the true terror of that moment, being in a place that is off the wall and not being able to hear where the danger comes from. It is so terrifying to me. That was one of the best hours of TV I think I've seen in a very long time.
And that episode you're talking about is available right now on AMC Plus and will air this coming Sunday on AMC. just so you're
aware. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. So that's a week. I'm saying it a week ahead of time.
Yep. Yep. If you're, if you're watching on AMC Plus, you're a week ahead right now.
Wow. Holy Christmas. So that's this going to air on regular AMC this next coming Sunday.
Yep. This coming Sunday.
Holy cow. Watch it, folks. It, like I said, whether you've never watched an episode, I've already caught you up. The dead have risen. People are fighting against each other. And no place is really safe. And now you're caught up. Now go watch this episode and enjoy it for what it is. And there's, of course, other side stories, but you can see the, you know, that's got a good suspense to it as well. But the main story in this one just was terrifying. What a great, honestly, what a truly great hour of TV.
You know, what's a shame, and I didn't think I'd ever say this about Walking Dead. I mean, even in the last 4 or 5 years or so, there's only 3 episodes left in this mid-season, and it's gone way too fast. It just seems like they've been hitting on all cylinders coming into the end of this mid-season. I can't wait to see where they leave the mid-season. It's really, if you were a fan a couple of years ago and you dropped it because it just seemed like it had jumped the shark to you, I'd encourage you to go watch the last year or two of Walking Dead since Angela Kang came aboard as main showrunner. And you've gotten some amazing directing by Greg Nicotero. You've gotten some amazing storylines from other writers on the staff. This one that even that Dave is talking about is possibly one of the most powerful episodes of Walking Dead you'll ever watch.
Right. And it is truly a great horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, if you liked A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place 2 and Bird Box, I think this takes it to another level with what you're dealing with and really putting you into the fear factor of the moment. But anyway, another news story for entertainment, The Lost Boys, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might be returning.
I see
in
this
new movie. Yeah, now that the pilot is not moving forward at the CW, the revival of the 1987 cult classic vampire feature The Lost Boys continues. After the CW opted that Rob Thomas's pilot was just a no-go, Warner Brothers is prepping a new take. With screenwriter Randy McKinnon and Jonathan Entwistle directing, Deadline is confirmed. A Quiet Place franchise actor Noah Jupe will star alongside IT actor Jaden Martell. Automatic's Brian Cavanaugh Jones and Fred Berger are producing. The original movie, which was billed as a comedy horror and grossed $32 million at the domestic box office, follows two brothers who, after moving to a new town, discover that it's occupied by vampires. So if you've been living in a cave and don't know anything about that, Joel Schumacher directed the original movie, which starred Jason Patrick, Kiefer Sutherland, Jamie Gertz, Alex Winter, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, Diane Wiest, Bernard Hughes, and Edward Herman. It is one of the classic horror movies, and it's a great mix of comedy and horror. Great flick. I don't know, man. They've made like, I think, 3 sequels to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually had the Frog Brothers show up and some other stuff from the original. I just don't know. This to me is kind of, I guess maybe you can update it because the look and the hairstyles and the music would be a different thing now, but it just kind of feels like one of those movies I wish they'd just leave alone.
Yeah, there's some classics that should remain classics and you don't touch. That seems to me to be one of them. It has been a little overfarmed and needs to, if you're going to come back with it, there has to be a giant twist in there that nobody could see coming.
It'll be sisters this time.
Oh, no.
Big twist.
No, I'm talking, you know, some sort of gimmick that really will throw people off. Because it seems like the latest Hollywood rehashes are Hollywood rehashes with a slight twist that leave us kind of empty. You know, you get the story, but you don't get the soul of what was there.
Exactly. And they've actually kind of raped the original concept and made even that seem icky now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of those ones you should probably leave be, but we know they're not going to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll give it a shot because I have been pleasantly surprised by some reboots.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, a Paranormal Activity reboot is dropping on Paramount Plus next month. Happy Death Day's Christopher Landon has penned the new sequel to the Paranormal Activity franchise. Shaky cameras and supernatural hauntings have returned in another Paranormal Activity movie. although this one makes me think of Patrick Swayze for some reason. It's Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. Wasn't he in a movie called like Next of Kin, or was that Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, gosh. Now I'm going to look it up because
maybe it was curious. Both of them. But yeah, it's going to be released. And they revealed that the reboot will be released on Paramount Plus this October. Details about the new Paranormal Activity film have been sparse since it was first revealed in February. The movie, produced by Blumhouse, has been described as a new beginning for the franchise. Based on the trailer, it seems that we can expect some colonial era hauntings mixed in with the more modern day setting that might better fit the series' signature found footage shaky camera style. Perhaps the most exciting thing about the movie is the creative team behind it. Director William Eubank directed 2020's Underwater, which I'd never heard of. It's a deep sea set horror movie that was creepier than anyone expected. Let me jot that down, as a matter of fact. Underwater. I'm going to try to watch that. Have you seen that movie?
I don't know if I have or not.
Yeah, it came out in 2020. I don't think I've ever heard of it. It's a deep sea set horror movie that was creepier than anyone expected. Meanwhile, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin will be written by, well, it was written by Christopher Landon, who directed and wrote both Happy Death Day movies and the last year's body swap horror comedy Freaky. Landon has worked in the Paranormal Activity franchise before, directing and writing 2014's Paranormal Activity The Marked Ones, which was one of the better sequels, that's for sure.
Yep.
While Next of Kin was originally announced earlier this year and mentioned once or twice by producer Jason Blum, in the meantime, it was expected to release sometime in 2022. However, with the release of the new trailer, we now know that it's coming much sooner than anticipated. Paranormal Activity Next of Kin will be released and stream exclusively on Paramount Plus on October 29th.
And now, Karnak. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You can go see the teaser trailer by going to darknessradio.com. Click on the news tab. You'll find that news story and you can actually watch it. I would have played the audio, but it's just a lot of screaming and music. There's really not much in the way of narrative that'll help you out.
Right. Okay, so Karnak, here's the deal. Next of Kin was a film in 1989 with Patrick Swayze, as you mentioned. Also, Liam Neeson was in it, Helen Hunt, Bill Paxton, and Ben Stiller.
Okay. Oh.
So, yeah. It looks like it has the cowboy theme. I've never seen it.
I think I did back in the day.
I'd
have to remember.
It might have been one of those lonely nights down at college in 89 where you just decided to take in a Swayze flick.
Our next story, I got to admit, Tim, when I read the headline, it kind of threw me. Now, I remember that there was a couple of offhanded remarks and there was one great episode that kind of dealt with this text. But I guess I'm not seeing this as big a narrative as the author at Screen Rant does. But here's the headline. Okay. As we know, The Sopranos, which ended, 10 years ago? No, boy, 2007. Boy, has it been that long already?
Yes, it is.
So 14 years ago?
Yep.
Lead actor that played Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, unfortunately died.
Mm-hmm.
His son is reprising the role of Tony Soprano as a teen. So this movie will show us how Tony Soprano got in the mix and how he rises to power. And Gandolfini's son is remarkable in all of the trailers I've seen.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He is channeling his dad. But this was the headline that shocked me a little bit, Tim. How the Many Saints of Newark, which is the new movie, continues the Sopranos supernatural storyline. Now, when you think of the Sopranos, did supernatural really come to mind?
Oh, yes. When Tony was in a coma.
Right. I mean, there were little splashes here and there of weird stuff. And my favorite is when Pauly goes to pick up his ma from the medium and the medium starts seeing all the dead people and the first person that that Pauly whacked. So like that. And, you know, there's a couple of dream sequences and weird shit, but I never really thought of it as being a supernatural storyline.
I never did either.
But you know, it's an interesting twist. The newest trailer for The Many Saints of Newark shows even more of Tony Soprano and Dickie Moltisanti, but it also hints at continuing the original show's supernatural storyline. HBO's smash hit crime drama The Sopranos ran from 1999 to 2007, following the life and times of James Gandolfini's Tony. and those in his personal and crime families. The show was an undeniably deep, three-dimensional, and fresh portrayal of the day-to-day existence of a mobster, a lifestyle that had already been looked at in media many times. And though the show extensively showcased characters' violent and generally coarse sides, it also leaned into psychological and philosophical elements. Tony's own personal journey of trying to improve his mental health, comes to terms with who he is and what he's done, and simply working to actualize the existential meaning in his life, were integral pieces of The Sopranos plot during its six seasons. Interestingly, the supernatural was another unlikely layer that made the gangster series so intricate. And judging by the latest trailer for the show's upcoming prequel film, The Many Saints of Newark, it looks like the project will keep some of the franchise's signature paranormal activity and references alive. As the promo ends, a young teenage Tony says hello to a baby version of Christopher Moltisanti. Christopher bursts into tears, leaving the protagonist confused about what he did to scare him. One of his relatives gives her take. Some babies, when they come into this world, know all kinds of things from the other side. Even in the trailer, it's an interesting choice to hint that the show's supernatural element will be brought back into the fold. As previously mentioned, this isn't the first time that the franchise has incorporated elements of the paranormal. Tony was famously haunted by friends and family members from the other side that he had killed over the course of the show. One notable fan favorite instance of this was before the wake for Livia, Tony's mother in Sopranos. Audiences catch a quick yet very obvious glimpse of Tony's deceased mob associate, Big Pussy Bompensero, in a mirror. Tony doesn't see him, but once his face is revealed, his unnerved expression makes it clear that he feels his friend, who he had a hand in killing, is there and present with them. He's similarly haunted by his actions and who he is later in the show as well. Other events like the cat that appears to the family after Tony kills Christopher and Tony's season 6 coma dream, which deals with, among other concepts, answering for sins of his past, are also notable examples. There's even the medium that I brought up earlier that Paulie consults after being disturbed by the message that Christopher brings back from his own classically Sopranos dreamlike near-death experience in what he believes to have been hell. And those are only a few examples pulled from the wide array. Even if The Many Saints of Newark doesn't end up focusing on the supernatural, the scene between Tony and baby Christopher is a thought-provoking choice to include in the movie. And especially the trailer. It certainly harkens back to the theme's prevalence in the original show. And of course, it forebodingly speaks volumes about who Tony is at the core and what will happen between him and Christopher many years into the future. So I thought it was an interesting aspect that I guess I never really looked at the supernatural elements. There are flickers of it, but I guess a lot more than I gave credit for.
They're there. To David Chase's, I guess, credit or maybe not credit. He kept them, he wove them in beautifully. So you didn't notice them or he didn't beat you over the head with them. But even like when Tony was in a coma, there was the insinuation that he might have been somewhere that wasn't necessarily in a coma, that maybe at one point he might have been in limbo. You know, and people think, well, how do you get that from what was there? I mean, you really have to watch the episodes to realize the, right, you know, the fact that really was Tony's limbo that he was in. And you're going back to the Italian Catholic faith. You know, one of the things I was thinking of as you're reading the story, they even tell you in the trailer, I think it's more of a tip of the hat when they do the Christopher Tony introduction.
Right. It's foreshadowing.
Yeah. Foreshadowing. Because they also foreshadow the entire title of the movie. Right. The fact that Moltisanti means many saints. So, I mean, it, you know, that's, they basically told you what, you know, what that's all about. And I'm trying to remember from the series, was there ever, they mention how Dickie dies and they talk about him quite often, but was there ever a run-in with Dickie spiritually?
No, but remember through the whole thing, Christopher wanted to get a hold of who took out his dad, and Tony, right, delivers it to him. But there's some talk that in the movie we're going to actually see what really happened to Dickie Moltisanti.
Okay.
And it may not be as big a surprise as they think it is to us, the viewers, of who actually whacked Dickie Moltisanti and what happens. So life is cyclical. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Hey guys, love the show and enjoy when you guys talk about UAPs. Yeah, you know me. You down with UAPs?
Yeah, you know me.
Okay, I agree that most likely it's our tech being showed off in the veil of we don't know what these vehicles are. I guess it's the U.S. military's version of the old Soviet May Day parade, where they used to show off their new fighter jets and bombers, and the U.S. government would essentially lose their shit trying to figure out the capabilities of these new Soviet flying wonders. But I believe the U.S. has been playing the secret game for decades. Look at the decades of triangle-shaped UFOs being sighted, and look at how the aircraft we developed in the 50s through the 80s, the SR-71, also the A-12 and the YF-12, the XB-70, the F-102, the F-106, and the F-17. All these aircraft are triangle-shaped. Hell, even the F-14 Tomcat from Top Gun fame has swept wings that gives it the complete triangle shape. And if someone in the early 70s saw it sweep its wings and totally change its shape and have no idea about aerodynamics and military aircraft, it could have easily come to the assumption that this was a UFO. Tech today is definitely going the drone route. So is the matter a modern tic-tac-shaped UAP something built by the U.S. military complex? It definitely is not out of the realm of probability. Could it be that we are now far enough technologically that we can reverse engineer crashed alien crafts? Once again, it is something that is not out of the realm of possibility, but truthfully, we will probably not truly know for decades to come. Or if aliens finally land on the White House lawn, just remember that science fact was once science fiction. And that comes from Jason. Thank you, Jason, for that insightful little email. We appreciate it.
You know what's interesting, Jason? Let me throw this at him real quick. And I don't know if you're aware of the show or not. You probably are. I'm probably going over old territory with you. There's a second season of a show that just started up on History Channel called The Proof Is Out There. And it's a veteran journalist, Tony Harris, and his crew that go out after this. And one of the things that kind of pulled me in to start watching the show was the fact that they had done an interview with TMZ, and Tony was, you know, they're kind of hyped up on the whole alien thing right now on TMZ, with one side taking the skeptic side, the other side taking the believer side. And Tony comes on and he says one thing about the show which intrigues me, and they don't just deal with UFOs, they deal with all phenomena in the paranormal. But with that being said, he said, we're not just a group of, because he's assembled a crew that involves journalists, experts, and whatnot. We're not just going to get together, present the facts, and then say, you decide. We actually come up with some real tangible evidence and real tangible proof that these things either exist or they don't exist. And we present it within the program. We don't leave you hanging. So I thought, oh, okay. You know, that this is interesting. Now you've got my attention, you know, because you do get to a lot of open-ended stuff on paranormal television. It's an intriguing show. I'll tell you, you can watch the episode, which is entitled UFOs Caught on Camera, online at history.com right now. And to our emailer, if you want to dig deeper into the whole UAP thing, that particular episode is pretty interesting because you get some people who are skeptics who sit around and their minds are changed a little bit.
Cool.
Based on what they found.
Did it start to change your mind?
I don't know. And I don't know that it does. I'll tell you why, because I really do believe that there are more, you're not going to like this answer because it seems negative. There are more layers of deviousness in a human than there are stories that are believable. If you want to put that into a quote. And I think that, and I'm not just talking about our government. I'm talking about other governments out there that might have, you know, corrupted some technology or gotten a hold of some technology and used it for their own gain. At one time, maybe we did have a couple of visitors. I just think the majority of what you see in the skies is not them. I think it's okay. Us as a planet.
So you haven't really moved off that
point yet? No, not yet.
Well, let's do this. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear about reincarnated victims from 9/11. We'll also hear a tragic story about a man who believed that his girlfriend's child was afflicted with demons. And Tim, you might be on the edge of your seat when we find out that a woman's pickle cottage might be haunted.
That sounds...
Certainly does. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that, possibly a zombie story and more, and a paranormal bomb threat, that and more when we return to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio. Time is a funny, funny thing. If you pressed me, and this hopefully is not just a sign of my doddering old age, but the 9/11 attacks, it feels like it was 5-6 years ago. It's just so hard for me to believe that it was 20 years ago already.
To put in even more perspective, I think of it this way. My nephew turned 20 back in March. He's not old enough to remember a world where he was ever safe traveling throughout the United States and not had to think about an outside threat.
Yeah, it's so weird. I just, you know, I know time moves quickly, but it's just 20 years, man. 20 years ago.
It goes so fast. And you're right. It does seem like it was, you know, I sat the weekend of 9/11. I was so desperately ill, but the times I could keep my head up, I was watching the different tributes to 9/11. And like I said before, I shed quite a few tears watching it, but it hurts for the people who live through it. No matter what age you were at the time you lived through it, it cuts to the quick just as much now as it did then. You know,
I would agree. Yeah. It's powerful. It's terrifying. And again, it's just so hard for me to conceive the fact that it's been 20 years that this has happened, since this happened. But the story I've got is interesting. Children talking about how they died on 9/11. Many remember the day when the Twin Towers in the United States were destroyed by suicide bombers on hijacked planes. A total of 2,996 people died on September 11th, 2001. 20 years have passed. Children have begun to appear who have now been talking about that terrible day, who they were and how they died. At the moment, there are several known cases of reincarnation, which this article covers. And again, this article in its entirety will be up at darknessradio.com, and click on the news tab. You'll find it there. I worked here is the title of the first story. This amazing story has been told by several media outlets. Rhys White, who usually publishes reincarnation stories on the web, described how her daughter, who at the time was only 4 years old in 2018, looked at photographs of the North Tower taken before the terrorist attack and said that she worked there. She said she was working there and suddenly the floor got very hot, White explained, so she stood on the table. She said that she and her colleagues tried to leave through the door, but they couldn't open it, so she jumped out of the window and flew like a bird. White assures her that her daughter has never seen photographs before and has not heard anything about the 9/11 attacks. The next one, I was on the 110th floor. Cade started having nightmares at the age of 3. He screamed in his sleep about planes crashing into buildings, the Statue of Liberty, and a broken leg. Then he began to make drawings of two skyscrapers with a man falling from them. Cade's stories led his parents to believe he was present during the 9/11 tragedy. Cade even remembered his old name, Robert Pattison, who had an office in the North Tower. From his office, he could see the Statue of Liberty. The boy, who in a past life was a veteran of the U.S. Air Force, described in detail how on the day of the attacks, the roof collapsed over him and he could not get to the stairs. I was on the 110th floor on that fateful day. Subsequent investigation revealed that there was a man in the Twin Tower that day, by the name of Robert Pattison, a veteran of the United States Air Force who actually worked in the North Tower. American Rachel Nolan spoke about her four-year-old son, Thomas, who talked about the tragic day and the fact that he was a firefighter. "I don't just want to be a firefighter. I've always been a firefighter," Thomas said. "I went to work in the morning and took off my fire protection suit in the evening." He also explained that he used an axe to contain the fire behind the walls and avoid danger. Rachel thought it was just his imagination until one day when Thomas saw a picture of the World Trade Center in a magazine and said, "The bad guys burned down these buildings. People had to jump and I could not help them," stressed the kid. "People were waiting for the firemen. They were waiting for me, but I could not come to help them." Mother Lucia claimed that at the age of four, her son began to describe what happened to him on September 11th, 2001. Her son said that he was a worker who died as a result of the terrorist attacks. When the kid saw a photograph of the towers, he showed the window where he was working. He even told his mother that he felt the building fall, but the most frightening thing was that he was still buried there. So, can science prove the existence of reincarnation? Researchers in the field note that young children who are about 3 to 5 years old most often recall their past life, their words, as well as the knowledge and strange behavior that came out of nowhere. As a rule, suggest just one single thought. Reincarnation exists. But is it especially shocking when everything that the children talk about is confirmed by facts? For example, they talk with incredible accuracy about the people with whom they lived and where their home was. In many cases, it's been proven that the child's testimony exactly matches the facts of the life and death of the deceased person. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, as children get older, their memories disappear. And that normally happens around the age of 7. Fascinating story. I'm reading there are some people that don't think this is the type of thing that should be explored. I'd love to do a follow-up on this. I wonder if Cade, who believed himself to be Robert Pattinson, I wonder if he's contacted the family and has made a deeper connection. But you know, I'm left wondering about reincarnation and the fact, Tim, that is it truly the soul of that person inside this child reborn? Or in the birthing process, did that child absorb that psychic scream, that psychic scar of the personality of that person in the last bits of their life? I don't know. I wish I knew more about it. I'm fascinated by reincarnation. I love doing reincarnation stories and hearing the tales and why people believe they were reincarnated. But I mean, there's really something interesting that, you know, all of these kids at around the age of four started detailing these accounts of their lives and that they mirrored exactly what happened. And let's face it. Yeah. 9/11 happens every year, but how many of us sit there watching documentaries of 9/11 with a 3 or 4 year old in the room with us?
Right. Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, one of the documentaries I was watching about was about two brothers who joined the fire department of New York after their father, who is a New York firefighter, died that day on 9/11, trying to go up a stairwell, trying to save people. And as one of the brothers said specifically, had it not been for 9/11, had it not been for that day where my dad didn't come home, I would not be a New York City firefighter. And they detailed the fact that for 5 years after this firefighter passed away, that the fire department and the guys and gals in his regimen would come by and they'd make dinner every Sunday for the family until the family eventually moved away.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that they would they'd show up at the boys' hockey games. They would do everything they could to try and fill in for these boys' father.
Give some normalcy, yeah.
Right. Now, when you're reading that story, I think to myself, wouldn't it be something if one of those brothers had a child and that child truly was a reincarnation their dad, yeah. of their father? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that in that instance, could you deny reincarnation? Because in that instance, you were alive at the time of 9/11. You could go back and ask this child what really happened with the father. They already know to a point. What had happened was the father had escaped death once in one stairwell. I think it was in the North Tower. And then knew there were people trapped in the South Tower. So rather than, and he had come down with the North Tower, was the way it happened, managed to live, dusted himself off, walked over to the South Tower knowing people needed to be saved, and never came back.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but wouldn't it be something if these two brothers did have a baby that,
right,
that was the reincarnation somebody else of their father?
Yeah, had that child, if that child could come forward and make right. that connection again in life.
Yeah.
Boy, powerful. Speaking of powerful, I have a very sad, dark story to share, but we'll go to Las Vegas for this next one. A 5-year-old Las Vegas girl was seriously injured after her mother's boyfriend allegedly threw her from a 3rd-floor apartment balcony Sunday, believing she was a demon, authorities said. Jarek Willis, 32, was arrested after being shot by Angela Matthews, his girlfriend, after she learned that he threw the child off the balcony, police said. The young girl was found by police unconscious on the ground of the apartment complex, authorities said. The mother said she learned of the incident when her son screamed that Willis had tossed her child over the balcony, according to police. Matthews told police that her boyfriend could be seen leaning over the balcony with the young girl's body below. A neighbor who witnessed the event reported that the child landed face first on the gravel. Fearing for the lives of the other children, the mother shot Willis in a bathroom confrontation. A day before the incident, the boyfriend told Matthews that her child was a demon. Angela said that she and Jarek practice and believe in African spirituality. And on Saturday, Jarek started talking about how he believed the daughter was full of bad spirits. According to the police report, Matthews told him to stop talking about her daughter in that way, to which he indicated Jarek apologized to her. The 5-year-old sustained a broken forearm, pelvis, rib, collapsed lung, and a possible fractured sternum, according to police. Willis was sent to a local hospital with critical injuries and is facing child abuse and neglect, domestic battery, and attempted murder charges, authorities reported. So, folks, keep this family in your prayers and thoughts, and if you are a healer, send healing to them, because Angela Matthews should not have to live through the loss of her daughter because somebody's heretical views went overboard. But put out prayers. I mean, it's amazing that a 5-year-old survived this. It's almost like that kid a few years ago here in Minnesota that was thrown off the 3rd floor of the Mall of America and survived. I believe the power of prayer, man. I believe in it. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers, folks. Tragic story. Good God.
Yeah.
We'll try to lighten it up a little bit with this next one. Just the headline alone I knew would make Tim happy. Poltergeists. Stacey Solomon is left on edge as her son's friend warns her that her pickle cottage is full of ghosts. And maybe it's just my internal naughtiness that picks up the word pickle cottage as meaning something much more sexually derogatory.
As it should. Yeah.
Your pickle cottage.
Yep.
I'm going to use that as a come on term to the wife next week. What do you think?
I think
hey,
that'll.
Baby, how'd you like me to haunt your pickle cottage?
That'll get you absolutely nowhere, but give it a shot. Hey, why not? Yeah.
The pregnant star was overseeing a sleepover at the family home and revealed her boys and their friends were hunting for ghosts. Her fiance, Joe Swash, had conveniently popped out, leaving a shaken Stacy to deal with the spooky spirits. Speaking on Instagram, she said, "They're all out there screaming. One of them's got an app on his phone, and he kindly let me know earlier there's a high reading of spirit activity in my pickle cottage." Well, she was pregnant. Her pickle cottage was full.
That's true. Yes.
Thanks a lot, Johnny. Stacy decided to turn the tables on the lads when the clock struck 10 p.m. Hovering around in the dark, she said, "Just letting them know the scariest spirit in the cottage is mine when it gets no sleep." The ghostly goings-on took place when Stacy, on the verge of welcoming her 4th child. Hours earlier, Stacy, age 31, filmed as her baby daughter kicked inside her belly while Christina Perry's 1,000 Years plays in the background. Sitting in her pink floral pajamas, X Factor star gently caressed her stomach as it moved about. Stacy told her following how her bump was moving with the best feeling and admitted that it was not long until she would give birth. Every little moment you make in there makes me more and more excited to meet you, she wrote. Not long now, princess. My haunted pickle cottage.
One gherkin makes a not-so-clean getaway, and all of a sudden, the pickle cottage is haunted.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, you know how it works, man. The pickle cottage. Oh, my God. Paranormal investigators claim to have spotted a ghost at a haunted Irish house. As a matter of fact, there's video and photographs up for this story and more. A ghost captured on a baby monitor camera. You can find it at darknessradio.com. Click on the news tab. Paranormal Supernatural Investigations Ireland has claimed that they've spotted a ghost during a recent investigation at Moore Hall, Mayo. On Friday, the following picture was taken outside Moore Hall after posting it online. The paranormal investigators received a phenomenal response. The PSI Ireland team decided to survey Moore Hall after hearing mysterious stories about the location from people that say it is very haunted. They state visitors to the cursed site described ominous sensations and the overwhelming feeling that they are being watched by an unseen force. I'm looking at the pictures. It's interesting. It's blown up, so it gets pixelated and weird looking, but it does kind of look like something's looking out through the window. There have been reports of hearing children's laughter and seeing shadows darting through the remaining structure. The woods themselves that encompass the fallen noble home are said to have an oppressive and foreboding silence within them. If you require any further information, please do not contact us, the group says. In terms of the history's location, PSI Ireland said that Moore Hall was built by George Moore, but he was warned that the area around Muckloon Hill was cursed by a druid. Local folklore states that the king of Connaught's druid, Drithulu, was killed here nearly in 400 AD. Despite this macabre history, the landowner went ahead and Moore Hall was built by Waterford Cathedral architect John Roberts, with Moore taking up residency in 1795. Shortly afterwards, George Henry Moore suffered a stroke and was left blind. And so the curse of Moore Hall had begun. PSI Ireland continues, George's son trained as a lawyer and was made president of Connacht, which was a republic at the time of the commission in 1798. Unfortunately, his position was short-lived affair following the appointment of a command-in-chief of Ireland, the first Marquis Cornwallis, in direct response to the British rebellion. John was arrested by the Lord Lieutenant and was given the death penalty. George Moore used some of his fortune to secure the best lawyers he could find and his son's sentence commuted as to a deportation order. While on remand awaiting the transport ship, John succumbed to the injuries he sustained in custody. Just a few months later, George Moore was also dead. The curse had struck again. The next owner of the Moore Hall was also named George Henry Moore. His money was made in horse racing, yet not without tragedy. In 1845, his brother Augustus was jockeying a horse by the name of Mickey Free in the English Grand National when he fell from his horse during the race and died. So I think the real lesson here is if your name is George Moore, don't buy this estate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Ireland, would you like to be traveling with me to Ireland? We're not doing Northern Ireland. We might be putting that off and doing Northern Ireland in about 2 years, but we're doing a investigation of Ireland that's going to be taking place in June of 2022. If you're interested in being a part of that, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. The trip includes your travel on the tour bus, our tour guides. I think it's breakfast every day, one big group dinner, and access to the haunted locations and ghost hunts, everything that, you know, all that aspect. It just doesn't include your airfare. But if you're interested, we sold out the first one that was made available in October in 30 hours. I posted it on social media. We're not posting this one on social media. I'm giving you, the listeners of Darkness Radio, the first chance to sign up for this. We're already half sold out. There's only 30 spots open. 15 have already sold. We'd love for you to join us. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I'll connect you with the tour coordinator. She'll get you the information. You can make your deposit and you can make payments so that it is affordable and an easy way for you to join us on this trip. So again, if you're interested, email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and we will get you on the list and you can join me as we go investigate haunted Ireland together. Hey, diddly, hiddly, holy hee, Tim.
Exactly. Yeah. No kissing the Blarney Stone this time.
What was that?
No kissing the Blarney Stone this time, though.
No, people pee on the Blarney Stone.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of lean backwards, arch your neck, and kiss the rock. And that seems like a lot of commitment to kiss a rock people have peed on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're heading to East Bridgewater. Imagine moving your business into a new location and quickly finding lots of what you might call strange occurrences happening. Think flickering lights, unexplainable sounds, and objects that move on their own. The type of things that make some believe a place may be haunted, Tim. Well, that's exactly what happened to 74-year-old Lori Parker when she moved her antique shop, Mrs. Swift's and More Antique Shop, into its current location at 16 West Union Street in East Bridgewater. But what might come as a surprise to some is that these occurrences aren't scary or even a nuisance to Parker. She actually looks forward to it. I'm always anticipating what's going to happen next. I probably wouldn't feel this way if it was negative, but it isn't, she said. Parker said she's always believed in the paranormal, having had paranormal experiences herself, though she doesn't claim to know exactly what it is she experiences. She said she prefers to use the term energies instead of ghosts for what she experiences in her shop. Parker started her antique shop years before moving into the building on West Union Street, but she found out it was vacant. She knew that she wanted to move in. I like the idea of an antique shop being in an old building, she said. The building is a former Masonic lodge, Tim, that was known by the name Setucket Lodge and was chartered in 1882. It also had a stint as a funeral parlor called Prophet and Flynn in the early 1900s. Now the building is owned by the Ideal Club, a Cape Verdean social club in East Bridgewater. They still hold events on the second and third floors while Parker rents the retail space on the bottom. It's just got so much character and so much history, and people feel it when they come in, she said. Parker said strange things started happening the moment she moved into the building 13 years ago. The first occurrence she remembers was an incident when she was cleaning the bathroom toilet. She said she had just finished when the bell rang and someone came into the shop to see what kind of business had opened. She spoke to them for a moment before returning to clean the rest of the bathroom. There in the toilet was a quarter. No one else had been in the building while she was gone. Huh. They were thanking her for the change. See, she was cleaning.
Yeah.
And I got nothing. Parker also said that right after she moved in, she painted the bathroom every morning for about 2 weeks. And every morning, despite no one else going in there, the toilet seat was up. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a male ghost that won't put the toilet seat down, Tim.
Right.
She called her landlord to check and see if someone else might be using it. And he reminded her that she had just had the locks changed so no one else could get in. I think it was the Masons because they're all men. I think they wanted to let me know, hey, this is a guy's place, she said jokingly. Since the beginning, Parker said the bell above her door that lets her know someone entered the shop regularly rings when no one has come into the shop and there is no one nearby on the street. Sometimes, she said, it even rings violently. There's also an old Fisher-Price toy radio that will play bits and pieces of its song all on its own. One time when she and her organization, the Massachusetts Area Paranormal Society, were doing an investigation, it played an entire song all on its own. Parker said customers will often feel compelled to come into the shop not really knowing why, and sometimes when they don't even like antiques. Oftentimes, she said, these customers will have strange coincidences happen to them, such as a woman who found an old photo of her husband's first communion in the shop, or people with the same name meeting one another. It's the little things that are weird and wonderful, she said. But Parker has also had some more exciting experiences as well. She said one time a woman came in and picked up an empty perfume bottle only to have both her and the woman smell the strong scent of floral perfume waft by with a cold burst of air. Another time, Parker said, an older man at the annual Christmas party warned her about a little boy in the back of the shop. When she looked, the little boy wasn't there. But after she turned around, the bonnet she was wearing, which was tied to her head, got yanked off. She turned around, but there was no one behind her, and the bonnet hadn't gotten caught on anything. Instead, she said, the older man was laughing across the room, and he yelled, "I told you!" More recently, Massachusetts Area Paranormal Society, which was known for its historic ghost tours of East Bridgewater up until last year, when a new cemetery commission prevented it from entering the local cemetery, was able to do a paranormal investigation of the building. Videos taken by the organization during the investigation show orbs of light flying in front of the camera over and over, Tim. Orbs of light. dust orbs in an antique shop? Get out of here.
Never heard of it.
Now, the bell ringing violently is intriguing to me. The bonnet getting ripped off her head is intriguing to me, but come on.
I'm all for the toilet seat that was left up.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. What's going on at Mrs. Swift's and Moore Antique Shop? Parker said she isn't sure, but she suspects it has to do with the leftover energy from the Masons, the funeral parlor, and other tenants of the building and their guests. But you don't have to believe in the paranormal to enjoy the unique history of the building, all the strange happenings you might encounter at the shop, or the antiques on display inside. It's just a shop that has things happen, she said. Or is it, Tim? It is interesting how many Masonic lodges are haunted.
There are quite a few, yeah. Yeah.
A lot. There's one, I won't give the specifics of it, but there is one in the Twin Cities area where the walls bleed. I've asked if I could take a scraping, and I was told no in uncertain terms. I said, I'd just like to know, what is this fluid? And they said it doesn't matter. They want to leave it alone.
Wasn't an active lodge, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I've been there watching it happen as it happens, like looking at the wall 1 second, nothing there, and all of a sudden seeing this viscous blood-like fluid start leaking from multiple spouts on the wall. And I shouldn't say spouts because that makes it sound like there's a hole. There was nothing there. I have no understanding of what's causing this, but they won't allow me to do a scraping.
Yeah.
That's weird. So, Tim, there was a bomb scare this last week.
Uh-oh.
Staff at True's Yard Fisher Folk Museum in King's Lynn, England, freaked out on Sunday upon finding an old, odd wooden box containing electronic components. The box was inside one of the museum's restored Fisher cottages. The lights in the structure had been switched off and a dehumidifier unplugged as well. It was a bit nerve-wracking as it was the anniversary of 9/11 and someone had left a random box with what looked like homemade wiring, museum curator Lindsay Bavin told Lynn News. Turns out that the box, labeled Paranormal Technology Finding the Truth, is a motion-activated music box meant to alert you when a poltergeist is present. The museum posted a tweet inviting the owner to retrieve the box and promised that they would not take further action, even though leaving untested electronics in a Grade 2 listed preserved special interest building is considered irresponsible. Apparently, the museum is rumored to be haunted, and a local Ghostbuster had left the box behind during an investigation. The individual collected their device and apologized. How terrifying is that? You go in and you see a box and you open it up. It's got all these wires and shenanigans inside of it, and you don't know if it's going to blow or not. But when it's a paranormal tool on the outside of it, shouldn't that make you, you know, well, we just had some ghost hunters in here. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, unless it's calling you a name.
I will say this. Back in the day, I was a bit of a technology mule for our friend Chris Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
When he used to sell the K2 meters, the ghost detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was his assistant. So we would keep all of she would ship out his ghost detectors and everything and do that. And then when he was going to be at an event, I would bring a suitcase full of them for him to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because what the airport does not like are items that use 9-volt batteries.
No.
Because those are usually detonators.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I had an entire bag full of K2 meters with 9-volt batteries. And I, you know, this was after 9/11, of course. Probably like 2008, 2009. And, you know, they're very strict. But I always thought it was funny. The bag went through security. Security grabs it. They take it over. They're like, sir, what's inside this bag? Is it safe for us to open them? Yeah, it's fine. It's ghost hunting equipment. And they would look at me like, what? And then they'd open it up. And there was the picture of Chris Fleming on the front with his hands in the prayer mode. And, you know, it said, ghost detector or whatever the hell he entitled it. And they would be like, oh, he wasn't kidding. It really is ghost detecting gear. And then they would zip up the bag and hand it back to me. And a couple of times I'm like, that's it. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, so all I have to do is tell you, it's just ghost detecting. You're not even going to open one of the boxes or swab my bag to make sure. And then they got real serious real quick.
Well, you just challenged them. Not only that, but it was one of the, it's one of those, you know, well, aren't you going to do your job better? And they're like, oh, you want us to do our job better?
But
do
I felt like it. I felt like if you had that kind of concern, you should do a little bit more testing, because I would rather that you are now on the aware factor, because if somebody else comes through with a bunch of electronics and 9-volt batteries, test them, just rub the swab. I've already agreed to your stupid security procedures. So you've taken me aside. It's going to take 8 seconds to take that tongs with the little cloth, you know, acne wipe and rub it around in there and run it through your tester. But it just kind of bothered me. And then they got real worked up and they're like, well, why should we test it? And I go, because people lie. You should test it. And he goes, well, are you lying? I'm like, no, these are ghost detectors. But for God's sakes, I could bring a bomb in pieces and just tell you it's a ghost detector. And because there's a picture on the box, that's good enough. That shouldn't be good enough. And like, they were laughing, but also understood my concern. And I felt stupid about it, but I was also like, shit, that's way too easy.
Well, yeah. But at the time, they didn't expect you to call them on the carpet about it either.
I was just boggled by it. And then I told Fleming after two or three of those things, I'm like, dude, carry your own detonators. I don't need this shit. You know, it's great. I get pulled over in each one. They look at me up and down like I'm crazy. But yeah, just weird. All right. Our next story, creeping death. An eerie picture of a demon-like ghost was seen lurking outside a Civil War Army hospital. An eerie photo that appears to show a demon-like ghost has been sending Reddit users into a spin. Are Reddit users just hopped up on too much caffeine and jelly beans, Tim? It seems they're very easy to spin out. The creepy snap posted on Wednesday was taken just outside an old Civil War hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Tim. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pardon me, boys. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Woo-woo. God, I'm old. In the comments, the user drew B102. explained that he had been previously warned by the estate agent that the house was haunted. The photographer said patients were operated on inside the home and then moved to the field out back, where most would die after being placed in tents. This photo was taken of the tree's face, and I didn't notice the figure behind it until this evening. I walked all around that field photographing it for the seller, and not once did I see that shape by the fence in person or in any other shots. It sparked a heated debate on the forum website as people questioned what the ghostly figure could be. In the comments below the post, some suggested that the creepy figure could be a nun. One user said, being a hospital, it would have had nuns. Look up the images for nun Civil War US. It's a striking resemblance. Chilling, actually. Another agreed. I have to agree. This looks like a military nun or nurse. Interesting catch. However, some users were less convinced. I know it's hard to believe there might be some skeptics out there, Tim.
No.
One user said, this isn't even half decent. It's a blurry picture of what could be literally anything. There is absolutely nothing in this photo to suggest that it is anything paranormal. And another one said, it's impossible to tell what the object is in the photo, so why assume it's a ghost? Now, to me, it looks like a plastic garbage bag got hooked up on the barbed wire at the top of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could also see a ghost. So maybe it's a ghost of a garbage bag. I don't know. You go check it out, folks. Let me know what you think. Honestly, I'm not needling you. If you see a ghost, maybe. Like I said, it's just one of those kind of images that's too hard to tell. Others also pointed out that the object could be something caught in the wind, despite admissions from the photographer that he saw nothing covering the building's view. One user claims it was just a torn plastic bag caught in a fence. Sounds like Dave Schrader. Some suggested it might have been another tree or an umbrella. Or what if it was a tree using an umbrella, Tim? What if it was a tree using a torn plastic bag as an umbrella? All three things could be true.
That could be, yeah.
The unusual sighting comes just months after a haunted pub went up for sale in Wales. The pub, which is for sale for only £140,000, is said to have witnessed a number of paranormal encounters, including spooky whispers and ghostly figures. What is a spooky whisper? Hey, hey, boo. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Now we'll bring it back home, Tim. Idaho Falls Hotel has the claims of a girl in a basement and a third floor ghost. An Idaho Falls building constructed more than 80 years ago that has provided stays for travelers as well as long-term occupancy for others is rumored to also house something many believe to be paranormal. A small girl in the property's basement and a male apparition on the third floor are alleged to dwell in this historic Shop Avenue location. I have to admit that the falling leaves, cooler temperatures, and the fact that Halloween is only 6 weeks away has me feeling a tad inquisitive regarding Idaho's historic locations, this article says. I was in the process of doing some research the other day and came across some information on the former Hotel Rogers in Idaho Falls. The hotel's construction ended in 1937, and the dwelling, known now as the Rogers Building, was owned by a man named B.M. Rogers. B.M. Boy, that's an unlikely name.
Unfortunate initials there for sure.
Right up there with Pickle Cottage. For those of you that don't know what BM stands for, bowel movement is what the normal BM initials stand for. Famous people such as President Herbert Hoover, President Ronald Reagan, Bing Crosby, Gary Cooper, and Roy Rogers are all said to have stayed there. In primarily an apartment building, it's now primarily an apartment building, and from time to time brings paranormal investigators through its doors. Over the years, the YouTube channel Ghostology has shared videos of investigations. They have researched claims of a child that has been seen and heard in the Rogers Building basement, as well as captured a voice response on the third floor from an unknown entity that appears to be male. Now, the videos are, if nothing else, interesting. The 84-year-old property appears to have a fascinating history and was at one point the crown jewel of Idaho Falls. That might not be such a hard thing to achieve, Tim.
You think it's a low bar?
a very low setting on that bar. But it's there, and I guess you can go investigate it. That article and the videos that correspond with it can be found at darknessradio.com under the news section. Before we read our last news story, Tim, I will tell you, filming this new series has been eye-opening for me. And I know I said in each season of the Holzer Files, I had things that happened to me that I'd never had happened. I had an experience this last week that landed me in the hospital.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's coming from a guy who got knocked over at the Whaley House and in, I'm trying to remember, Port Clyde, Massachusetts, or Port Clyde, Maine, that's what it was. I got knocked backwards into a bathroom and split my back open, and I didn't even go to the hospital for that. I got bit on the USS Constellation by an unseen force, and something really freaky as flip happened to me while filming our third episode of the new series I'm a part of. I can't go into the specifics of it, but I say that to say this. I had to spend an evening in the hospital, which was really scary because I went in. How am I going to explain to the doctor and nurses what happened was my first concern. My second concern is where I'm at is pretty rampant with COVID, the state that I'm in.
Okay.
People are not taking it real seriously.
Okay.
So our cast and crew have to be tested constantly. We are being checked. Everything's fine. We do wear masks when we're not on set, and everybody on set is vaccinated and takes tests. So I feel safe about all that, right? But now I have to go into a hospital, and a lot of the hospitals in this area are overrun with COVID. So I had a real concern. Luckily, when I got there, there was nobody else there, so they quickly squired me away into one of the examination rooms. And I told the doctor and the nurse openly what had happened, so they tested me. They could not find any reason for what happened to me to have happened, which was good news. So the good news, I didn't suffer a stroke. I didn't suffer a heart attack. I didn't suffer a ruptured appendix. I didn't have COVID. They checked my arteries and veins and everything. I'm clear. I'm good. She actually said for my age and weight, she was expecting to find a bit of a mess other than slightly elevated kidney levels because I take ibuprofen and Motrin for my headaches.
Yep.
She said, that's it. And just, I should keep an eye on that. So that's good. But then they started regaling me with stories of ghosts in the hospital. It started telling me about the things that are going on, that there's on one floor, there are two little girls in purple dresses that are seen holding hands. It's very Shining-like, right?
Yeah.
seen running around and playing or holding hands. There's another little girl on one of the other floors that they've seen sitting on a sink looking at herself in the mirror. There's a story of one of the nurses that used to work there who passed away. And when there are patients that code, a lot of the nurses have seen this nurse enter the room when the patient starts to code. So that was just a few of the stories I can remember, but I was there for quite a while and heard quite a few tales, and it was really interesting because they kind of like half laugh about it, but as they're doing it, they're like looking over their shoulders. So there was a definite level of discomfort in talking about it because they're right there.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Right in the home base. And there's another hospital in town that's been closed, and they were saying that place is supposed to be off the hook crazy as well. So interesting stuff. I'm happy to say I'm safe and sound and healthy now. I don't know what happened. It was scary as flip. And I legitimately thought I was going to die in the moment that it happened. So very scary. I sent you a picture when it happened.
Yeah. You looked like you had been fit to be tied. It was a scary scene.
Yeah. Scary. But I'm okay now. Thanks. I shouldn't say I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm a little unnerved by the location we are at. I will say that. I'm a little more than a little unnerved. I'm a lot unnerved. The place is this place in this area is bonkers. I mean, just bonkers. Anyway, our final story, a couple living in Kansas recently woke up to an eerie sighting. A zombie woman had reportedly lurked around in their yard in the middle of the night. According to the Daily Star, the North American homeowners from Winfield, Kansas were fast asleep until a thud shook them up. The noise was followed by some unusual movement on their deck, which was captured on the doorbell camera footage. The footage eventually made it to Reddit, Tim, the home of itchy twitchy people. After their son posted the clip that marked his parents' tryst with paranormal activity. My parents told me that someone had let their dogs out, pushed over the grill, and stretched the water hose out to the middle of the street and then turned it on. The youngster wrote as he opened up about the incident that took place back on September 5th. Despite having felt that something was not right, the couple decided to give it the benefit of the doubt and check the cameras to confirm whatever they'd experienced. The outlet highlights how the CCTV footage showed a barefooted woman in a baggy t-shirt and skirt with a really odd body language lurking around on the wooden deck. The sighting was recorded at around 3:26 a.m. That's when things got creepy beyond explanation, after she suddenly steps backward and begins to twitch her neck. The mystery woman then scans her setting and extends her arm for a second, followed by a stroll across the deck toward the table and chairs. The Reddit user enthused how the unearthly sight was at first brushed away by his parents, who reasoned that the lady could be out, be one of their neighbors with drug issues. But the niggling thought at the back of their minds led the family to approaching the cops and filing a report. And it turns out the officers weren't surprised in the least and seemed to have identified the spectral figure as someone who lived in a nearby town. While netizens continued to ponder over the spooky incident, the youngster enthused that it did feel really weird, as his family failed to understand why the woman in question was 20 minutes away from her home at a random house in a town over. To make things worse, the cops reportedly knew exactly who she was. Comments came flooding in from several users across the globe, with several branding the entire episode as fucking creepy, Tim. Fucking creepy.
Yeah.
With some even referring her movements to Elisa Lam video footage. For the uninitiated, Lam was a Canadian student whose mysterious death during a road trip baffled many. Another user suggested that it was about time that the owners clean their house and the surroundings to ward off negative energies. In another unnatural instance, a manager at a pub in Cardiff opened up about the experiencing a paranormal activity after a chair next to her reportedly moved on its own. Haley Budd, 33, was spooked when she witnessed the strange incident as she relaxed for a bit after serving drinks on a working day. reported the Latin Times. And yes, there's a link to that. The video amassed millions of views, yet nobody could lend a logical explanation to the episode. While the CCTV footage captured the chair moving by itself, Bud maintained that it was worrisome, but she wasn't planning to quit or let it affect her mind. So that's it for Supernatural News this week. Powerful, poignant, fun. We hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, if you have stories of your own supernatural ilk, you can email them to me, Dave@darknessradio.com. That's D-A-V-E @darknessradio.com. And we may read them and feature them on an upcoming episode of The Best in Paranormal Programming. Tomorrow, strange stories about aliens, angels, and God from the Bible. Our guest is Jason Mallott. We have a lot of fun on that episode. We laughed, we loved, we had a great time. We may have gotten high. I'm not sure. I can't even remember. But go listen to that episode, and I hope you'll enjoy it and check it out. Tomorrow night, I'm going to try to do a live video stream on Darkness Radio's YouTube page, our Facebook and Twitter pages. I'm going to do my best to have a fun little offbeat interview. So if you're around and interested in watching that, you can do that. The audio for that will appear on Friday for you podcast followers. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. Thank you for tuning into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.